with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to have you here with us today for our service. The Lord continues to be gracious and faithful to us in our lives, and we're thankful for his love, care, and his forgiveness, and most importantly, his son Jesus, who died for us and rose again, that we might have life both now and to the ages. Today, we focus on the blessings of our Lord and consider all the things that he's providing us with all the time in our lives and also in our faith. And in the spirit of his provision and his blessing, we begin our service with hymn number 746, Through Jesus' Blood and Merit. We welcome those that are tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for joining us. We do wish you the Lord's blessings as well. But we begin our service with this hymn, Through Jesus' Blood and Merit, and we invite the congregation to please stand for the hymn this morning and face the cross as it processes up to the altar. So please stand. begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Help us hear your words and believe them as they are spoken to us through the office of the holy ministry, that in the stead and by the command of Christ, all our sins are forgiven through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We continue with our intro this morning from Psalm 143. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. We continue with our Kyrie this morning. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, you granted your prophets strength to resist the temptations of the devil and courage to proclaim repentance. Give us pure hearts and minds to follow your Son faithfully, even into suffering and death, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Amos in his prophecy in the 7th chapter, where we hear some interesting language about a plumb line. If you don't know what a plumb line is, I bet most of you do, but that's a straight line, right? A perfectly straight line that's used for building and construction. Of course, God is certainly has constructed perfection in his Son, Jesus Christ. And you get a sense in the reading of the plumb line talking about or being an image of Messiah to come. Also at the end of the reading in Ezekiel's words about how he was taken from being a herdsman. And he says even, "I was no prophet." There we get the sense of the humility that God brings to fruition in the victory and words of Christ. We begin in verse 7 of Amos chapter 7. "This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, 'Amos, what do you see?' And I said, 'A plumb line.' Then the Lord said, 'Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword.' Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, 'Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words.' For thus Amos had said, 'Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land.' And Amaziah said to Amos, 'O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom.' Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, 'I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, "Go, prophesy to my people Israel."'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the 85th Psalm. "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning from Ephesians chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At this time, we join together in confessing our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
Would you join us in singing our sermon hymn for today? That's hymn 743, Jesus, Priceless Treasure. Let's sing. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, count your blessings? Count your blessings. We have to talk about it. Our former president, Donald Trump, certainly imagines counting his blessings this morning after what happened yesterday. But it's common advice that we give to each other when things aren't going so good, when we're feeling down or we're having one of those days. Count your blessings. Good thing to think about when you feel like you're the one in the crosshairs of life. For some, these days are few and far between, these difficult days, but for others, they're much, much more often. You can't always tell when you run into somebody in the grocery store or at the gas pump or something where they're really at. But often it's this encouragement we hear, count your blessings. Don't forget, count your blessings. It's great advice. It really is. But consider with me this morning that the blessings that we most often count may not be the only blessings to be considering. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, he said, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God certainly provides, does he not? Gives us things that we need, material things. The blessings that we often think of when someone tells us, count your blessings. It's usually those material things, the things that we possess in this life, right? Even relationships. And even though those blessings matter, and I'm not saying this morning at all that they don't, in fact, they're very important, even though they're that important, they are only secondary. Two even greater blessings that our apostle speaks of this morning in our epistle lesson from Ephesians. Think about it. The scriptures will tell us, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So shouldn't we consider our blessings along this line as well? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." In our time together this morning, I believe that God wants to change the way that you count your blessings, and me as well. He wants to change the way we think about it, and which blessings, not that we count, but which blessings we count first, and which blessings we focus on first. If we look in Ephesians, you can look in your bulletin, it's printed there, Ephesians chapter 1. Look at what he says in verse 3. "Blessed," he says, "be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ," and it's easy to miss this language, "with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." He talks about spiritual blessings. So what's the difference between those and the things that we most often count when somebody encourages us to count our blessings? What makes a spiritual blessing or a material blessing is not really what we might normally think. It's not whether it's visible or invisible. That's not it. It's not whether it's tangible or intangible. That's not it either. But whether or not It's received by faith. If it's received by faith, whether it's a material blessing or what Paul's talking about this morning as a spiritual blessing, if it's gifted from God, if it's received by faith, then it belongs on your count your blessings list and mine. But if what we possess on earth, we only possess because of our hard work, and our pride and our grit and everything that we do and how we've gone out and we're self-made people who've earned our own way and plotted our own course, then I have sad news. Nothing belongs on the count your blessings list, because nothing, according to that perspective, was a blessing or was functionally something you blessed yourself with. But when received by faith, when in full recognition that God himself has given us out of his pure divine goodness, his fatherly goodness, his grace, that he's given us every single thing that we have. As James tells us in his book, that all good things come down from the Father of lights. That even material blessings do belong on our count your blessings list. But now the question, should they be the first things that we count? Because they usually are. In fact, they're usually the only things we think about. Somebody tells us that, we think, well, you're right, you know, I have a house and a home and I've got this and I've got that, and we start running through a list of stuff that we have, which isn't bad, but should they be the first? Answer, no. No, they should not. In fact, we should, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, recognize the spiritual blessings as well. Even though the two are not mutually exclusive, as we've just discovered, we should count the spiritual ones first. It's important. Let's take a look at these for just a minute. Look at verse 4 of Ephesians 1. It says this, and this is remarkable language, friends. It says, he, speaking of Christ, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Sorry, he's God the Father. Chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. The first spiritual blessing he mentions after he tells us about these spiritual blessings, the first one he mentions is your election. Or some will use the language of your predestination. This means, and we can, by Christ and faith in him, believe it with all assurity, that this means that if you believe in Jesus this morning, as you sit in this church, that if you believe his cross was for you and his resurrection was for you, and that he came and died and rose again for you, that you were elected or chosen to have what you have, that spiritual blessing, before the foundation of the world. This is a doctrine of comfort for Christians and not to be used in any other rational way. It's a doctrine for your comfort this morning. When we see that, we recognize, who could snatch us from his hand? If we were chosen in him before the foundations of the world to believe, no one could snatch us away. Not life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything created. Nothing could take us away. Number two, the second spiritual blessing we should be counting on our count our blessings list. Verse 7, if you want to look at that one with me. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Here's another one to focus on first, before we get to the list of stuff that we have in the material world. Look at this. We have forgiveness. We've been purchased and redeemed. Not by gold or silver, but by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we've been won back from sin, death, and the devil. That we actually belong to Jesus himself. And he has, as he said himself in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And we belong to him. The third one, verses 9 and 10, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So he makes known to us, this is another blessing to think of first, known to us the mystery of his will, his plan revealed to us by faith in Christ. Remember, he calls us friends because friends know what their master's doing. Those are Jesus' words. So what's his plan exactly that he's revealed to us? What's the spiritual blessing that should be one of the first on our count, the blessings list? It's exactly what we're saying. About how by faith, material things and spiritual blessings aren't separate at all. That's the mystery revealed in Christ, that all things are, as he said, united in Christ. So that now all things on heaven, in heaven and on earth are not unknown, but known to be from God. Faith speaks this, doesn't it? Known to be from God. Every blessing, yes, it's only by Jesus and his word that we see, friends, that every blessing that we have comes from our loving Heavenly Father. Everything. I wrestled with this a little bit. We all do. We say, well, listen, Pastor, cool idea. But I still have to get out of bed every morning and go to work. I still have to provide for my family, for myself, maybe for others. So I get that God gives us all these material blessings, but, you know, don't leave me out, right? I work hard. It confuses us. I'll let Jesus straighten it out for you this morning in Matthew's gospel. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? Birds are constantly out looking for food, right? We watch them all the time. I know a couple of people that really enjoy to watch the birds, just eating and doing their thing. It's a beautiful part of creation. But they're always out, and they're so busy, and they're going after their food all the time, right? Here's the part we miss because of our sinful pride. They do. But the part we miss is that the food is there for them to find. The food is there for them to discover. Paul writes to the church in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and he says this, if anyone is not willing to work, let them not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. See, you're right. We're all right when we catch that, right? Where it's like, yeah, these blessings all come from God, but I have to go to work too, Pastor. Well, God doesn't want lazy people looking for handouts. He wants us busy and active and serving him, but busy so that he can, guess what? Provide what we need for us so that it's there to find and bless us. So don't let your effort grow out of its place this morning. Yeah, we worked for it, but it was only there because of his provision and his grace and his blessing. There's something about our days as we go through, it causes us to focus on our own selves, and then that leads us to all the bad things in life. Have you noticed that? As you go along your days, what's the easiest thing to think about? The great, wonderful things that are all around us all the time and all the blessings that God's showering down from heaven? No way. We'll have 10,000 of those, and one bad thing will happen. And what will we think about? And what will we dwell on? And what will we constantly worry about? The one bad thing that happened. That's just how it goes, because our old nature is still at work in us. But Christ created something brand new, friends. He gave it to you in your baptism, the gift of faith in the Holy Spirit. And our faith doesn't look for the bad things or focus on our own works and let them grow out of place in our pride. But instead, we have a new nature. And that new nature recognizes what Jesus united in his cross and resurrection, this reality that we can now know the plan, that everything around us, all those 10,000 things, all came from a loving God who cares about you and me, delivered to you, often to your doorstep. It's open eyes to see. Like Jesus opened the eyes of people in the gospel accounts, that we can look around us and see the love of God and see his provision always, every day, from the smallest things to the biggest things. He's there and he's providing constantly. But when you take inventory of this, and when I do, all that he's given us, when we count our blessings, start and always start with the spiritual ones mentioned from our text in Ephesians this morning, so that we don't lose sight of this plan that's been revealed to us, this blessed reality of how the cross and the resurrection guaranteed us God's love and care and provision, not just in this life, but in the life to come. I like to think about it this way. Count your blessings, Pastor Jason. Count your blessings. First, that I was chosen before the foundations of the world to have the faith that I have. And so were you. That I was given, and so were you, the redemption of Jesus' own blood and full forgiveness, not partial forgiveness. He knows all. He forgives all. Then Jesus united things of heaven to everyday blessings that we'd normally count into our credit and our account. But now we learn by this gift of faith and this blessing of being able to see that we count it to God. And we say thank you, and we're filled with thanksgiving. And now we can look around and see how God provides. So think of all the good. It's hard. We don't easily do that, but I encourage you this morning, think of all the good. Count your blessings. Start with the spiritual ones. And see how they're united to the material ones, because Jesus has made all things new. And we rejoice in this, and we give thanks for this, and we shout for joy that all good things come from God. And even when bad things happen, there's so much good. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we need your help to see with the eyes of faith all that you do for us every second of every day and night, that we may live in peace, in your peace, always knowing that no matter what takes place, you've got us, we're safe, and you're always the one providing for us and blessing us with spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, and with material and physical blessings in our lives now as you carry us through this wilderness and on into the promised land. And we thank you, but we need your help. Lord, help us to to live in joy and peace and see the good. Lord, this we ask in your precious name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble and hearty thanks for all the goodness and loving kindness that you bestow upon us. We praise you for our creation. Lord, for all the blessings of this life. But above all and first of all, we bless you for the boundless love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus, our Savior. For the means of grace and for the hope of glory. We implore you to give us a right understanding of all your mercies, that our hearts may ever be deeply thankful, and that we may show forth your praise with both our lips and our lives. Lord, direct our lives in ways of holiness and righteousness all our days, that we may enjoy the testimony of a good conscience and the hope of your favor, and be sustained and comforted in every time of trouble. For Lord, you know they come to us. But as you tell us in your word, that your strength is made perfect in weakness, encourage us, help us see your care all around us, that we may finally be received into your everlasting kingdom. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you our common supplication for the well-being of your church throughout this world. So guide and govern it by your Holy Spirit that all who profess themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit and the bond of peace and in righteousness of life. Behold in mercy all those in authority over us, Lord. Supply them with your blessing that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation. You would make known your ways among us. Lord, preserve those who travel. Satisfy the wants and desires of your creatures and help those who call on you in any need. Lord, we name before you from the altar this morning the Jardin family, family of Michaela Wright and Jaden Wright, Frank Rendon, Joe and family, Echo Webb and her family, Lori Hauser, Sam Mestis, Cy Cavaletto, Isabel Cody, Julie Knoll, Ricky Luco, Emily Johnson and her family, Sean Austin, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Heavenly Father, you promised to hear us, and we are grateful. Lord, may these that we've brought to you have patience in the midst of any suffering, and according to your will, be released from their afflictions. Almighty and eternal God, We adore you as the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with the whole church on earth, and with all the hosts of heaven, we ascribe to you honor and blessing, thanksgiving and praise. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth is full of your glory. You created us in your own image and redeemed us with the precious blood of your Son. By your Spirit, you sanctified us and called us out of the darkness and into your marvelous light. Lord, grant that we may, with thankful hearts, receive these great mercies and express our gratitude not only with our lips but also with our lives as we give ourselves to your service and walk before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Deliver us from sin and error, from frailties of the flesh, from the allurements of this present age and the temptations of the devil that are all around us, and give us faith that works in love, hope and never disappoints, kindness that never fails, confidence in you that never wavers, patience that does not grow weary, and courage always ready to confess Christ, that we may live in your mercy and die in your peace. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the time in our service where we take a few moments and receive the gifts as we give back to the Lord a portion of those things he's blessed us with in our tithes and offerings. We'll enjoy an instrumental from our organist this morning as the offerings are collected and presented. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service today, and we wish you the Lord's blessings upon your week to come. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we invite you to please stand now if you're able and turn over to page 11 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins."
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.